es 10 de octubre y los cubanos debemos felicitarnos. El primer día de libertad e independencia de Cuba.
It is October the 10th, and we Cubans must congratulate each other. The first day of freedom and independence of Cuba, as Carlos Manuel de Céspedes called it, has the right to be one of the most celebrated in our national character, for its strong resonances for that minute of 1868 until this time in which we have renewed the oath of unconditional service to the fatherland. Although later the nation would mature full of legendary episodes, the inspiration came from that day when the shackles were broken and the flag, made by a woman, was waved by the first fruits of freedom. Together and embracing an ideal, for the first time, blacks and whites, women and men, almost all young people, and a young Cuban as a flagman, together furnished the first October 10 with transcendental meanings. They say that a 20-year-old boy named Emilio Tamayo was the first to walk to school, which Candelaria Cambula Acosta had set up in the camp that had been installed in La Demahagua, and that the father of the nation acclaimed when he admired her waving the flag, "Better to die before you see it dishonored." It is also said that the bell of the sugar processing plant resonated with another very young bayamés, Manuel García Pavlón, who would be the last survivor of that historic uprising. What do I mean by evoking these memories? In the first place, of course, pay due tribute to history and its eternal links with this, our present, challenging and full of threats and risks, just like that first day of La Demahagua, and like every day in Cuba's 151 years of struggle to sustain its independence. I am especially interested today in highlighting the episodes that place Cuban young people at the epicenter of these very struggles for something that almost a century after October the 10th, 1868. In July of 1962, in Santiago de Cuba, Fidel told students and teachers from the University of Oriente, "The revolution is not a struggle for the present. The revolution is a struggle for the future. The revolution has always set its sights on the future and the homeland in which we conceive, in that which we conceive as a just and dignified society of men. That is the homeland of tomorrow. The revolution is a struggle for the future. It has always been, and it is now." For the State Council, its president, vice president, and the remaining 19 members that have just been ratified or elected on October the 10th. For the vice president of the Republic and for its president, the number one task has to be the future. We appreciate the confidence in choosing us for these responsibilities, which together we will enact towards that future. That is why we have put defense and the economy in the first place and simultaneously. We do not forget for a second that a revolution is worth defending, and those who forget that do not live to tell it. The economy, as the basis and support of the social superstructure, is the great determinant of the future. In recent days, through the presidency site, we convened Think as a Country, and by carefully reading the more than 1,200 responses, we encountered much optimism and confidence in the future. Also, in some cases, expressions of concern. We share logical and revolutionary concern that in the face of a world undermined by the imbalance in economic relations, without buffers for less developed nations, and where it has become practical for global financial institutions to rescue banks, but never peoples. A world dominated by disrespect for international laws, led by the hegemonic power and the imposition of its claims through threats and sanctions. A world manipulated by pernicious media campaigns against a solidary and peaceful nation like Venezuela, while insisting on legitimizing an imposter without any popular support as president. A world where access to the podium of the General Assembly of the United Nations Organization allows speakers to belittle, threaten, and deny social systems and sovereign governments, and lie blatantly in the attempt to promote interventions of all kinds, including military. A world where global agreements, cooperation projects, and health programs that were hopeful for excluded majorities are broken. A world where the judiciary is used to imprison progressive leaders and persecute and kill social activists without justice. A world where those who build walls separate families, imprison migrant children, prohibit exchanges between villages and blocks the development of other nations. Also, they put the human species at risk when they ignore climate change and dismiss the warnings of science while the Amazon and other lungs of the planet burn. Such a world really alarms us all. At the first Earth Summit in 1992, Fidel delivered his shocking warning speech about an endangered species. No one should be surprised then that a teenager cries in front of those responsible for the disaster. The tears of 16-year-old activist Greta Thunberg at the United Nations last year are the tears for the future. To govern is to foresee, Martí said. And the Cuban Revolution owes much to the prodigious genius of Fidel and Raúl. That is our political school. Those who doubt it just have to look at 60 years of revolutionary history, from the literacy and high schooling of our people, the basis for forging the valuable human capital that distinguishes us, and elevating the development of science and medicine to cutting-edge levels worldwide. Even the early warning and preparations that have now allowed us to fight the brutal resurgence of the blockade by the U.S. administration with less damage than our adversaries calculated. The commitment we make before you today is to maintain and strengthen that practice. Take advantage of the invaluable human capital that we have formed and the contributions of academia and science to raise the levels of efficiency of government management and, as a result of the forecast, generate knowledge. The country has the commitment to flourish the talent formed by the revolution, produce and contribute internally without closing the doors to cooperation and learning outside borders. The export of Cuban products and services must grow and diversify. When we decided to increase between 3 and 5 times the salaries of the budgeted sector, when we promoted and accelerated computerization of society, when, despite the limitations imposed by the blockade, we defend the strengthening of education and the link between universities and productions at all levels, we are working for the future. This year, and particularly the last few months, have tested our ability to resist without giving up development. And they have demanded extra from the people, but also from the ministers and cadres of the state administration. The requirement in these days and months to come will not be less. Under the conditions of prolonged and total siege, it is up to us to strain our forces and rely on existing structures and the new responsibilities they require. The State Council, for example, will function more frequently and impact between sessions of the Assembly. There are many laws essential to make the government more efficient, which require more expedited ways of review, approval, and instrumentation. It is a commitment since we approved the new constitution. Municipalities must learn to manage available resources with greater powers and greater responsibility. We are already at the doorstep of the year 2020, in which we have decided to continue consolidating our economy without ever giving up the biggest dreams, which by elementary logic require more resources. We will strengthen lines of work and programs that during 2019 we proposed as priorities, including exports, foreign investment, housing construction, food production, tourism, transportation, and renewable energy resources. As we stated on previous occasions, after the shortage of fuel generated by the obtuse nature of the United States government, the country will return to normal, but it will not be with the same ways of doing things. One good thing these days of tension brought us was that they showed the enormous reserves that Cuba has to work more efficiently. That is why we will place greater emphasis on reducing expenses and saving, in systematizing the good solutions born from the toughest years of the special period, tempered to our reality. That is, taking into account the technological and knowledge advances that can turn a working principle through conservation into an engine of development. We insist on the need to work for the good of all, in the political and ideological preparation of the cadres, in the call to young people who always give us so much energy, and in the participation of the people in the search for the best solutions, with the certainty that the source of collective intelligence is inexhaustible, as well as the reserves of resistance and creativity that the aggression of the adversary always awakened in Cubans. I say what I said a year ago when I assumed the task of the presidency of the then Council of State and Ministers. We did not come to promise. We came to fulfill the mandate of a revolutionary people. Today, we begin a new stage of work for those of us who represent the state and the government, which will demand from each leader, cadre, and official at all levels the willingness to throw away the heavy burden of obsolete practices and cumbersome mechanisms which slow down the processes and weaken national self-esteem. The times we live in, every way anew and demand a different way of thinking, change everything that needs to be changed, as Fidel said, as Raul has shown during his years at the helm of the presidency and as our first party secretary. When I think of them, I'm also thinking of the future, because their generation was a generation of future, which left home, studies, and comforts to change this land at once. The hand did not tremble to fight the worst scourges that sucked the blood of the Republic, or to challenge the threatening enemy by raising a new nation from the root, from the mountain, from the Sierra. As they did not tremble at the time of facing the dirty war that lasted for years, with mercenaries destroying and murdering practically all the length and breadth of the island, nor did they hesitate to give support to the brother peoples who fought against the hateful Latin American dictatorships, sustained and backed by the same empire that now accuses the progressive leaders of the region of being dictators. By the way, what evil that empire is making with its old and demoralized troop of mediocre and mendacious politicians nucleated by the OAS. Where are those who have not stopped giving advice on the fate of Venezuela, at the same time show no concern with the enormous conflicts and social problems that afflict their own peoples? How do you intend to erase the aggressions against Venezuela of the bungling paramilitary mafias? One thing that the leadership of the Cuban Revolution never lost was the course of morality in history. There they are, undefeated, with no more monuments than their own work, to which we have a duty to pay the most just tribute, to make it grow and prosper without fear or threats or risks. The poor of the earth cannot lose their dignity or give in to the threat. It is a conviction demonstrated many times throughout history, from that October the 10th in Lemercawa until April 1961, when Fidel fired a tank against mercenary ships. In these times, when we have returned to accompany Paulo de Almeida, the new Comandante General of the National Police, in his cry of principles in the midst of the toughest hours, we firmly affirm that the Cuban Revolution will preserve intact all its convictions, those that cost the blood of the best children of our country. When you can count on a Cuban community of such ancestry, we do not fear for one second to face the future, aware that we will conquer it. Today, we return to make our assessment that so many times we listen to the Army General, where we have learned yet to surmount in the midst of the difficulty, what kind of people are we? Those who create and build have defeated those who hate and undo. The blood of our aboriginal nobles, our European, African, and Asian grandparents, and that of all men and women of immense courage, who throughout the centuries formed the national being, boils in rebellion in the face of each threat and reacts with anger at each aggression. The more they attack us, the more they intimidate us, the more the national will and strength grows. Unity. It will always inspire us on October the 10th. Like the Mambises, honorable name of the rebel Creole, we will not hesitate to use the machete if the rifle is missing. And we will always have shame as a banner and as a moral vest. The town, which has been the capital of the world of solidarity more than once, welcoming those who offer it to us and offering it to the world, to those who need it most, is waiting here in Havana for its 500th birth, like the arrival of a supportive and anti-imperialist wave, like a cannon shot against the blows of the imperial beast. The land of Cespedes, Mariana, Gomez, Paseo, Martí, Mella, Guiteras, Rubén, Camilo, Che, Almeida, Ramiro, Guillermo, Vilma, Celia, Haide, Melba, in the land of Raúl and Fidel, we have not changed not a millimeter the warning of the bronze titan. Whoever tries to appropriate Cuba will collect the dust from his blood-soaked soil if he does not perish in the fight. Intense and challenging days await us, but nobody is going to take away the confidence in the future that we owe to the children of the homeland. Long live Cuba Libre, socialism or death, country or death, we shall overcome.
Viva Cuba Libre!
Viva!
Socialismo, muerte, patria o muerte, venceremos!